Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm giving you a little exercise in mindfulness because being present in your body helps you in the bedroom. Plus, I'm answering your questions. Topics include breathe with me, how breathing into your senses may be the key to having better sex. So you're in an open relationship and you still get jealous. How do you deal with it? You have a problem with your partner's porn watching and now intimacy is no longer a priority. Where do you go from here? And how to get your partner to see open communication about sex as a positive experience instead of a threat. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You're going to love our site. And you're also going to love finding me on SiriusXM Stars. I am there 5 days a week, and it's on channel 109, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. And if you want a free 30-day trial of SiriusXM, go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. Or hey, you can still call in even if you don't have Sirius. 888-947-8277. And find me on all social media across the board. It's at sexwithemily. All right, guys, I hope you enjoy the show. We're going to do a little guided meditation to get you into the moment. So it's Mindful Monday. So why am I doing this? Well, here's the deal. Maybe you're driving in your car, you're listening at home, but let's just be honest, the start of the week can be a little bit overwhelming. And I realize that that mindfulness, I love the music's going now. This is good. We're going to do it. I like it. This is good. So here's the thing about mindfulness. Okay. Mindfulness has been a buzzword now for a while. And I feel like no matter who you're talking to, you go into the doctor's office, you should really. Have you ever tried meditation? Have you ever tried yoga? Have you ever been mindful? And in fact, you even hear me on the show. I'm often saying, breathe deep into your pelvic floor. Breathe more. Relax. Be mindful. You guys are saying, how come I get so distracted, Emily, during sex? How do I stop worrying about what my boobs look like or what my penis looks like during sex? I can't stay in the moment. How do I be more mindful? So, on this first Mindful Monday, I thought I would walk you through it so you don't have to buy all the books and do all the things and feel guilty that you are actually not in a mindful place. It just means that you're being present. Mindfulness means that you are present in the moment and you're not being distracted by everything else that's going on, by your phone, by the TV, by your driving. And in fact, for me to get into meditation, I had to throw myself into this mindfulness retreat when I was in Thailand 25 years ago. It was a meditation retreat and it was 10 days of silence. And I thought, well, okay, this is going to be really hard. And you couldn't read and you couldn't write and you couldn't make eye contact with anyone. It was called Vipassana and you just had to meditate. And my only job was to sit and to breathe and to focus on my breath. And then when I noticed my thoughts, which you will, you just notice them and let them go for 10 days. So I think, okay, this shouldn't be too hard because they're providing you with food and they're providing you with shelter. You just have to meditate. And then what I realized was that it was the fucking hardest thing I'd ever done because your mind, our minds, they're like wild animals in the jungle. Wild animals. And if we don't learn to control our mind is going to control us. And so that's what all this mindfulness is about and all this, you know, breath work, because breath is also a really important part of meditation and of just being present and of having better sex. If you also learn to breathe with mindfulness, it can be a game changer. But since our thoughts are running wild, and remember this, our thoughts are not facts. Our feelings are not even facts. So if you go back to the present moment of whatever's happening, you realize that most of our distress and our worry comes from thoughts in our head that we assume to be facts, and then we interpret them as an impending threat, right? We're always going between the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, and so many of us are in fight or flight all the time. So one of the best ways to anchor us between fight or flight is to actually learn how to breathe properly. And it's funny because if we don't breathe, we die. Right? You got to learn to breathe. So I think most of us are doing okay, but we're never actually taught how to breathe properly. So we're just getting by, because really what we need to do is we need to learn to breathe deep, deep, deep breaths, like belly breaths. Like I always say, breathe deep into our pelvic floor. So the breath and the mindfulness is really what's going to help us, you know, in life. I have a friend who's always listening to the show, and she's like, you're always saying breathe into the pelvic floor, breathe during sex, or breathe. And she said, I don't know what that means. And I said, okay, well, tonight on Mindful Monday, I'm going to walk you through it. Okay. So let's start with some mindfulness exercise number one, and breathing. So let's say you're just right now, maybe you're driving in your car. Maybe you're listening on the app. Maybe you're listening at a future time, but you're present. So the first thing you want to do is you want to pay attention to what you're feeling right now in your body. So maybe you're feeling your butt on the chair and your feet on the ground. That's a really great anchoring place to start. I'm feeling this chair. It's kind of bouncy. My feet actually aren't touching the floor right now because I'm too short. So I'm feeling them on the side, you know, and you just kind of start to say, like, maybe your hands are on the steering wheel. And you're like, okay, leather steering wheel, my hands are gripped. And then you want to run through your senses, okay? So, because this also will anchor in the moment. Think, well, what am I hearing? Okay, well, maybe you're hearing my voice right now. We know that. And so what are you tasting? Maybe you're tasting some gum you're chewing or something from lunch, something in your mouth, the water you just took a sip of, your coffee. What are you smelling? Maybe you're smelling like the exhaust from the car. And the second you anchor yourself in all five of those senses, there is nowhere else to go but present. You are mindful. You are being mindful of the moment. You're driving, hands on the wheel, looking out the window, listening to my voice. And you have to remember that that really is a practice, and it's a muscle in our brain, and we're not taught how to do it correctly. It's just because, especially today, there's so much distractions and so much worry. So whenever you realize it, you're in your car and you're distressed, you're listening to this and you're worried about the day, the second you just learn to say, you know what, I'm just going to focus on my senses and then I'm going to breathe, that all that fades away. And so it helps to do it for 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. I try to do 20 minutes a day. So another part about this is the breathing. So let me get into the breathing part. So now that you're feeling more mindful, just focus on taking some regular breaths right now. Because when I'm saying that we're living in this fight or flight, a lot of us are shallow breathers. Like we're literally like breathing from like our chest up, like from our heart up, and we're not making that connection. So just take like deep breath, like in through your nose. You can go out through your mouth. You can go in through your nose and out through your nose. That creates more heat. Another one. Thank you. And once you realize you start to take these deep breaths, I want you to take a few more, that you can start to actually count. So when I say breathe deep, try to breathe in really deep right now and see what you can count to. How many breaths does that take? And then I want you to repeat that on the out breath. So maybe it's going to take you four in and do four breaths out. And you want to count and you say, okay, I did four in, four out. That was kind of or maybe it's five or six. And so the goal is when you're really breathing, you want to go. So you want to breathe. So you're taking one more sip of air, like you think you can't take any more. And then you take that extra sip. And that's when you're really breathing. And that's when I talk about breathing into your pelvic floor. This is going to help you with like sexual desire and sexual arousal. That no, you're not actually breathing. You know, your breath won't really go there. But if you picture it, it does so much for you. So if you picture this deep breath, maybe it's your fifth or sixth sip of air, and then you do it like a little squeeze of your pelvic floor. This is a bonus, kind of waking it up, kind of capturing that air and then letting go. And then you breathe all the way up and then you breathe down. And when you breathe out, you're also doing a little squeeze of your pelvic floor. So this is also opening up the energy fields that we're often blocked from, our pelvic floor energy. Sometimes we just feel like it's not even a part of us and we're disconnected. But when you start to like do that little squeeze, so we can try it again. Breathe in. Deep. Breathe out. Stress. So you can also think like when you're breathing in calm. You can be breathing out negativity, judgment. You can be breathing out the day. Because it's Mindful Monday. Let's get the week going. You can breathe in your what you want to see happen this week, positive thoughts for the week, breathe in a really good intention, like you want to be more focused this week or more mindful. And you realize that like the more that you breathe deeply, that you kind of slow, everything slows down and you feel start to feel more connected. And I know I feel less anxious, I feel more relaxed. And so like the longer you can do this and keep trying to get up there to five breaths, six breaths, seven breaths, till you just can't take it and you're there. And then you let it out and you make sure you count the same up and the same down. And you'll start to feel that energy flow through your body. Now, here's the thing about it. It's like you can put like a note on your phone or your calendar or on your desk just to remember to stop throughout the day and just do some deep breaths. We can do a few more. You guys getting into it? So reset, right? Now here's the other thing. It's so hard not to talk and breathe with you all. You can do this on your own. You can also do this with a partner. Like maybe you guys are connecting at the end of the day and you could just look at each other and you can take five deep breaths before you even say hello. Or maybe even like look into each other's eyes. And it's powerful. I mean, this is the kind of work where you're just like, oh, I get it. I thought I was breathing, but now I'm really breathing. And now I'm really connecting because you can also sync up with your partner's breath. But even if you're just on your own now, driving or wherever you're at, just if you practice on like six breaths in and six breaths out. And if at one point when you're breathing in or out, you want to just do a little tension of your pelvic floor, like you kind of flex those muscles. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, they're like the, I like to call them the pee stopping muscles, where you're like stopping and starting the flow of urine. So that muscle, like, and you squeeze it for a second, you just squeeze it and you let it go. And then we're just connecting the breath. Monday, how are you guys feeling?
I feel so much more relaxed.
Right?
Like, it's amazing.
So do that in the morning. Do it in the middle of your day at work. This is about mindfulness, you guys. This is what everyone's talking about. And I do too. I feel look how quiet I'm talking. It's much calmer.
Yeah.
Slower. Not quiet. You guys need to hear me. But it slows you down. And powerful, you guys, what the breath can do. It can reset. And they're showing now that breath can be so healing for so many aspects of our life, like disease as well, anxiety. We store a lot of emotions and stress in our bodies. So we just want to breathe in, breathe out.
Oh my goodness. That's like, it's very tranquil.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right, guys? How does that feel? I feel like it's a big part of my life to be, and I'm still like, it's stressed and anxious and worried, and my staff will even know, maybe you need to go meditate right now. I mean, I try to do it in the morning and at night before I go home. Kind of set, like it kind of reframes the day and lets go of the day, and then kind of resets before the night, and can be really helpful. So yeah, and it helps with your sex life too. What I mean by breathing during sex is just that you're taking really deep breaths and you're breathing it. And even if it's loud, it doesn't matter. But when you do that, you'll realize that a lot of us hold our breaths also during sex and masturbation. And when we actually breathe, it allows our sexual energy, just hear me out, that might seem kind of woo-y to you, but it's true. It flows that energy through your body. It circulates it so you can actually have stronger orgasms and you can have more pleasure when you're on your own because it's just moving stale energy through your body.
That's going to be my next thing for whoever I find to go on a date or hook up with. I'm just going to be like, hey, do you want to try this thing with me?
Yeah.
I'm just going to see, like, because I also feel like the first time you hook up with someone, I'm usually actually pretty okay, but I know that, like, people get nervous because you don't know what to expect with a new set of genitals in your face.
Exactly.
So it's like, I think that would be, like, a good practice, and hopefully they could, like,
I think it's a really good practice to just kind of anchor, like, Christina, you go home and see your husband, like, let's just breathe for a second, because you connect, you look into each other's eyes, or you hold hands, and it really is just anchoring. We all do it. But again, it's like we're not trained how to do it correctly, and most of us do it wrong and live in this fearful place.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your questions.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Okay, we got in this email from a Nick, 28 in Virginia. He says, "Dear Emily, my wife and I have been together for 7 years and have a great sex life, although my wife hates that we use condoms. She's told me that it feels much better during sex and would eliminate one barrier, i.e. not having one when we need it, that we have in our sex life. My wife has tried several oral contraceptives, although many have resulted in significant side effects. We've even discussed an IUD, but several friends that my wife trusts have also had issues for them. This reason, condoms have been our only contraceptive since we started dating until we started trying to get pregnant. The same month we started trying, we got pregnant. We now have an amazing 1-year-old and would love to have more children, but not right now. My concern is that removing condoms will quickly result in us getting pregnant given how quickly we conceived our first child. Outside of female contraceptive options, what can I do to remove condoms from our sex life without too much stress of getting pregnant?"
All right, great question. Now, here's the thing. I understand that, I don't know, being married and having sex with condoms, I get it. Condoms can be super, super annoying and can feel like a barrier, like emotionally and obviously physically. So I have to say though that there are some great condoms out there that we just don't know. So you might not know about. I love Skin Condoms, SKYN. They're polyisoprene, non-latex. If you haven't tried them, you could try that. You could try those out, or just go to like order a potpourri of condoms. Like, try a bunch and see what you like. I'm just saying that you don't have to rule out condoms because there is such a stigma around condoms. I also have to tell you, though, the pullout method, let me tell you this, the pullout method can be very effective. It can be like just as effective as, you know, a little less effective than the condom or the pill, but most people don't do it correctly. You have to take some time to like take your temperature. When is she ovulating? It's really just a matter of, we're not taught all these things, but there will be like a certified, if you guys are willing to put in the work, she could pee on a stick. You could track your ovulation. There's apps that help you now. So you could really figure out, like, without a shadow of a doubt, you pretty much, it would be like take a miracle for you to get pregnant on these certain days. You just have to do that work. Mm. So you could do pull out, but the reason why I don't recommend it is because most people do it wrong. And so I think also, you know, I understand why birth control pill. Yeah, I hear you. I'm not a huge fan of birth control right now either. And the problem with, if she does go back on the pill, what they're realizing now is it's really hard to regulate afterward. You can't just stop it and then you're up, but we're going to get pregnant. So I think it's great that you stay off of the pill. That would be your best bet, that if you just start looking into female ovulation. And so she understands it, you both understand it, and you know when you're safe and when you're not about pulling out and when ejaculating.
And they can like buy in bulk so they don't run out of condoms.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But with pullout, I've been doing it for 11 years, you guys, with Nick, my husband, and it's worked great. But same thing, I use the app, the Flow
app.
Do
you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know when I'm ovulating. So I just make sure, you know, like, hey, maybe we make sure we don't do that during that time. And then if we want to try to have kids, we know, oh, we got to do it during this time.
Exactly.
So it's so true, though. If you're making sure, like, you know when everything's going to happen, just like you said, that's exactly what we've been doing forever.
Right. Okay.
And
so there you go.
Great.
So he could do that if he doesn't want to do the condoms, mm-hmm, or stock up on them. But I just feel like condoms are, you know, you're married. Using condoms every day can just be annoying. But even for everyone else listening, find, if you don't love condoms and you're not in a committed relationship, or even if you are, they're not as bad as you think. I'm just telling you that. And if you can prevent going on IUDs, the IUDs with birth control pills, with the hormones, I'm down with that.
Even the copper one, I heard if you already have bad cramps, that it's like really bad that first day when you have that in you. And that just, I mean, it just sucks that those are the options.
I know. And it really does suck. That's why I think that if women had more under, that Flow app is made by that woman, Allie, I think, or she wrote a book about it. I can't remember, but
I'll look it up.
Flow Living app. I'm just telling you that it's really, it's very cool. Like if women start to, I think it was called The Woman Code. She wrote a book about it. And I think that women just don't know enough about our menstrual cycles, and we don't understand our blood, and we don't understand any of it. When back in the day, that's how we like told time. That's how we measured everything in life, was by female cycles and the moon. So that's not all like woo woo stuff. So I feel like if you, it is time now. I think that women are ready to kind of take their bodies back, you know, not only sexually, but also like understanding your fertility and all those things.
Very, very, not very often though, you hear it's the woman in the heterosexual relationship complaining about the condoms.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, because most guys would be like, yeah, sure, let's not do it. But I kind of like proud of him for sticking with
it
a little bit.
He's like, I want to stick with it. But I think he's saying like he doesn't want to.
Well, he's only done. I'm just saying that a lot of guys would be like, yeah, fuck it. We got an Instagram question in. How do others work through jealousy when you're in an open relationship? And this is from a female listener.
Okay. How do others work through jealousy? That is like their job. Like if you're in an open relationship, dealing with jealousy is a main tenet of this relationship. You have to learn really healthy communication with boundaries, and you talk before you guys do something, you meet up with someone else, and afterwards, and you practice vulnerability and just like a rigorous honesty that I actually haven't seen in other relationships. I haven't seen people in even monogamous relationships practice this kind of honesty. So, but jealousy is like a natural human emotion. Like we are all going to get, you're going to get jealous at different points in your life. But what I found is when you really talk about things and then you realize and you name it, you're like, babe, that made me feel jealous. And then you have a partner that trusts you and you're able to say, I am jealous right now. It sort of can diffuse it in a way. The people I know are like, yeah, they get jealous from time to time, but they don't have the kind of raging jealousy that a lot of people have in monogamous relationships, because they learn that you can kind of transcend it, the power that jealousy has over you. Though I don't think it ever goes away. I just think couples that are really healthy and talk about everything have a better skills at dealing with it.
Can you like when you do feel that jealousy, like in you're in the relationship? Like, do you just call it out to your partner and be like, hey, that actually made me feel this way?
Yeah, so you like, have a good time talking about it. You're like, you know, I'm really like what I've seen couples model that have been on the show and who are friends of mine. They're like, you know, that really that didn't make me feel good last night when you didn't come home when you said you would. Or I actually realize that I'm jealous when you tell me all about your sex last night with this woman. I thought I'd want to hear, but it's making me feel really insecure. And then you'd have to let your partner know what you need. Do you want an apology? Do you want him to hold you? Do you want him to tell you that you're beautiful? I think that we have to teach our partners also how to nurture us once we reveal that we are, that something made us jealous. And then hopefully your loving partner is going to kind of avoid those situations in the future. So I think that a lot of the jealousy happens when people are early on in polyamorous relationships and still continues. But early on, you're just like, keep just kind of, whoa, didn't want to know that, or that's too much information. Or so you just kind of, but you pay attention to it and you really have to nurture open relationships. You know, just as much as you other ones, even more so, the communication is just rigorous and honest.
I feel like I'd be fine until I didn't have a date when my partner had one.
Well, right.
Then I would be like, oh, crap. Like, that's all I'm going to be thinking about because I didn't have anything to be like blocking my mind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, remember we had a caller early on who called when we started the show. They were like, my partner and I opened up our relationship. This is that first night. She's going on her date and my date canceled. I'm just sitting home. I think he was in Canada. And he's like, I'm just sitting home tonight and I'm so bummed. And I'm like, what could you do? Or like, let me entertain you. Listen to the show. Like, I mean, that is tough, especially if it's the first time. She's going to come home with a great story. But, you know, I mean, the couples I've seen go, it's bumpy. It is bumpy. It's not like so easy. Like, oh, we're having sex with other people and we're amazing. No, but you get to work on some deep rooted issues. And you realize if you do have a deep trust in your partner, like you really trust them in a lot of ways, that your jealousy is separate from them. Like, it's kind of like it just made you, it brings, you know, brings up insecurities you might have. I think it just people do a lot of great work. I always say we do our best work in committed relationships. People in polyamorous relationships take it to another level if they do it right.
Like, is there a way to like, can you like put a hold, like close up for a second if you're like dealing with stuff, then re-back open?
Oh yeah, people do it all the time. They're like, oh, we haven't played in a few months, or we had a kid, so we stopped swinging, or we stopped playing for the last month, all the time. And I think you have to decide. And that can be a problem too sometimes, because one person in the relationship might want to like, you know, keep going and the other one doesn't. But again, if you are in a loving relationship with your primary partner, you just figure it out together, like every other kind of compromise you make in a relationship. I think that people are really a lot more curious about it, though. I feel like people are like, I think we're seeing more and more alternative relationships. I've seen it in the last week. People are more open. It's not as shocking. It's just more, and it works. It's not some for crazy, you know, neighbors or the swingers or people just want to have sex with other people. It's people who realize that they can be in love with one person and love and like it's their partner, but sometimes they just want to go out and try something else. They want to go have a little bit something on the side. And the partner knows about it.
Do you think you could do like an open relationship?
Yeah, I have before.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. How do I not know this?
I think you do. I think you do. In San Francisco, it was like I was dating a guy for like a year and we both decided that we loved seeing each other like once a week. And we would definitely, we had so much fun on Saturday nights. We'd go out or Friday night. And then when we each had something, like he had a restaurant opening or I had an opening or something, we would do like special things together. But we were dating other people and we would share that and talk about it. And then it ended because I actually met someone I really wanted to be in a relationship with, which was hard for him. So wow. I did. I tried it. It all worked out. Yeah, there you go, Jame. And you thought you knew everything.
Christine, 34, in Colorado, wants to know how to know if her spouse is watching too much porn.
Hey, Christine. Thanks for calling. How much porn is he watching?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not like 100% sure, but the past, I would say probably couple weeks, I've been seeing it on his phone and it's almost every day.
Okay.
We haven't been intimate as much as we'd like to because we both travel a lot for work.
Right.
So I feel like maybe that's part of it, but I've seen it on his phone before we got married, and I never had a problem with it. But now I guess I'm just questioning. It's just making me feel a little insecure.
Right. No, I understand.
And wondering.
Yeah. No, I get it. So just so you know, like porn, it's totally regular for, you know, normal for men to watch porn every day. A lot of them do every day. Mm-hmm. So that is a normal thing. Okay. So I think if, you know, this is when porn's a problem. It's like, he can no longer get turned on with you. He can't leave the house. He's missing his job because he can't show up for work because he's on, you know, watching porn 10 times a day. Like, that's when you really, when there's consequences. But I'm wondering, so I don't think, but tell me about you guys not having as much sex as you'd like, because that's common in relationships. But have you guys tried to kind of talk about it and say, well, what can we do about this? Let's try to have more sex, because I think that's more of the issue than the porn.
I think so too.
Okay.
No, we haven't like exactly said it. I think we've just both verbally said it. I think we both kind of read each other's mind. Like, we need to make it more of a priority in our marriage.
Right. Okay. That's great.
When we are together, even, you know, so since we aren't traveling, but the travel is pretty heavy. So, and it comes in spurts. So when it's travel, it's a lot of travel. And okay. Then when it's not.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that maybe like, so that's good. You guys had the preliminary conversation. So the next time you guys are together and you're having dinner and it's great, you haven't seen each other in a while, you should just say to me, I know we talked about prioritizing our sex life, but I really feel like let's do it. Let's figure out some ways we can actually, you know, figure out how to connect again intimately. And so I think that, you know, a great thing to do would be to like literally prioritize it, put it on the calendar. Like, scheduling sex is one of the most effective tools that couples don't do, because they think it's going to take away all the mystery. And it's like, you're not having sex anyway. It actually makes it a lot hotter because you're guaranteed it's happening. You can kind of, maybe you start talking fantasies with him, or you start, you know, adding some new things into the mix, some toys, some lube, some role playing, and kind of keeping it alive. Because every relationship has to prioritize their sex life and keep it interesting. We just don't often think to do it. So, okay. And I would also say some tips for you too, when you're away from each other. It's actually, if you're, you know, it's a really good time right now to be long distance or away from your partner, because there's so much great technology that could keep you connected. So I don't know if you guys ever use toys together, but there's a company called WeVibe, and they make these amazing toys, and a lot of them work with their WeConnect app. So you could like have a toy, and you guys could FaceTime together or use the app. It's like a FaceTime, you know, it uses that same kind of technology, and you could watch each other. He could control the vibe for you, or you guys could just make a date on Skype and have some intimacy when you're away from each other. Maybe have some conversations about sex, or just, it's important to keep it going even when you're apart. So if you're saying that, because maybe also a lot of couples who don't keep that intimacy alive, and I don't even mean like you have to have Skype sex. You could just have really, you know, maybe you have a date where you're both having a glass of wine and you're talking on the, you know, using Skype, but to figure out what you need. So when you do see each other again, you still feel connected.
Okay.
All right.
And you said that one was called WeVibe?
Yeah, it's called the WeVibe. We can put it in the show notes. If you go to sexwithelmy.com, like everything we talk about is in the show notes, but it's WeVibe. And just check out their toys. If you guys haven't used them, there's just a lot of them that are really fun, and he can kind of control it and see. It's a very interesting, you know, cool product that, yeah, check them out. And it would just be something fun to look forward to and to play with. So that's what I think. Let me know how that goes. And I wouldn't bring up the porn, but first bring up the prioritizing the sex. Okay. Thanks,
okay,
Christine. Yeah. You're going to, you'll appreciate it. Once you start talking about sex, you guys, I'm telling you, if you're listening to this and you have not had that conversation with your partner ever, like you've actually never said, not just we should prioritize sex. Oh yeah, babe, you're totally right. What's for dinner? But you actually sat down and were like, let's make a sex plan. We should have a sex plan. What are our goals for our sex life the next few months? What should we try? Like think of it not like it's a chore, you guys. Remember, we're talking sex. Remember when it was fun and awesome at the beginning of your relationship? It's that. And then you're like, well, what could we do? And you could like plot it out. Maybe we want to try a toy, or maybe we want to, you know, watch some porn together, or role play. Like, think about where you want to be sexually. And if you don't know, listen to the show together. They give you a lot of ideas. You can call me 888-947-8277.
Well, we have Kyle, 21, in Texas, who wants to know how he can better communicate with his girlfriend because she feels uncomfortable opening up.
Okay. Hey, Kyle. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Emily. What's up?
Hey, Kyle. I'm good. All right. So your girlfriend doesn't want to talk about sex, huh?
Yeah. It makes her pretty much like so uncomfortable, and I've tried, but it's like, it's almost to a point, I mean, I love her to death, it's like she's stubborn and like won't, she'll just back off completely, like shut down almost, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. And she's 21. Is she your age as well, Kyle?
Yeah, she's like about a year younger than me.
Okay. I mean, just so you know, Kyle, that's pretty typical that most women and most people your age have never talked about sex. Could be your upbringing, your parents said, oh, don't ever talk about it or don't have sex till marriage. Or we don't know what her messaging was, but she just might not be ready yet to talk about it. You can't force people into it. And it could also be the way you're talking about it. You know, give me an example of what you're trying to talk to her about. Like, how does that conversation go down?
I mean, I'll just be like, so, like, what would you like me to do or something like that? And she'll just say, like, a one- or two-word answer. Mm-hmm. And I'll try to keep it going, maybe. And you're probably right. Like, I probably am forcing it a little bit too much, which I haven't really recognized.
Right.
But, yeah, so it'll just be very, very short and, like, that's
right.
About it.
Okay, well, Kyle, let me let you in on a secret here, okay? I used to be your girlfriend, and the reason why she doesn't answer it when you ask her what she wants, because she doesn't know. So it takes a lot of learning for women and for men, but a lot of women, she really doesn't know because maybe she hasn't had that many partners. And even if she has, you know, women, we have to masturbate. We have to understand our bodies, our orgasm. We have to actually have enough years on the planet to have sexual experience to actually know what we want. So if you guys have been together for a while, she's 20 years old, she probably doesn't know. And I used to have guys ask me all the time, and they'd say, how does this, and it wasn't until I was, Jesus, I don't know, my mid-20s or even late 20s where I actually really knew what I wanted, what felt good to me. And I had to like do that work. So it probably kind of scares her because she feels inadequate that she doesn't have an answer for you. So if you really love your girlfriend, Kyle, something to kind of say to her is like, I'd love to know what pleases you. Would you be open? You could ask her, has she ever masturbated? I think it's really hot. Maybe we could do it together. Have you ever talked to her about that, Kyle?
Not really, honestly. Like, at a point where I'm almost like scared to ask her that because I know she'll probably more than likely shut it down. And you're probably right. Like, she probably doesn't know what she wants yet because she's so...
Yeah.
We're so young.
Yeah, you guys are so young, Kyle. I'm telling you, most people your age do not know. And so that's why I think it's so great in your 20s, you know, you have girlfriends, have boyfriends, but I don't think it's time to find your lover for the rest of your life. Find your person. I think it's time to like kind of figure out your body, explore, be honest with, just experience new partners. And if you want to stay with her, I think you could just tell her, have her listen to this show, my podcast. This is what we talk about all the time. She just might need a little bit more education around it. Okay, Kyle? And she might also not be where you're at. So give her that option to figure it out. Okay. She'll get there, but maybe not on your watch.
I completely agree.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you so
you're
much.
You're so welcome, Kyle. Thanks for calling. I totally get it. I wish I had me at 21. Like I, you know, it's like, I get it. I didn't know.
Yeah, I had you at 22. So
you did, dude.
It was clutch.
Jamie. Yeah, you had me at 22, right? No, but I get it. He's like, oh, I totally see the whole thing. That could be frustrating for him. And now, you know, you get it, you guys. People don't know. Your partners don't know. And they might be in their 30s and not know. Might be in their 40s and not know.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to the show, for giving me 5 stars wherever you listen to the show, and subscribing and sharing it with a friend. Because, hey, we all need some more sex talk, don't we? Sex information. Thank you everyone for listening. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.